brother. What's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm doing fine. Got a lot to talk about. As always, we want to get right at it. I want to welcome to the show, Miss Lindsay Tyson. She's with Apprenticeship Wisconsin. Good morning to you, Miss Tyson. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. The long-awaited opportunity to have dialogue with you. Let's talk a little bit about Apprenticeship Wisconsin.
Absolutely. That's why we're here.
You know, I understand. I spent 34 years in industry, and I constantly talk with young people in schools about the apprenticeship opportunities and the fact that so many baby boomers who have been apprenticed are retiring, and that if ever there was a wide open career path to middle class lifestyle, it's apprenticeships.
Yeah. And the youth apprenticeship initiatives that are happening in Wisconsin are really taking that thought process and bringing it to talking to sophomores after their sophomore year in high school, talking it over the summer about what opportunities are before them. Wisconsin's really leading the push of what a lot of high schools around the country realize they need to do in making students both college and career ready.
You know, the fact that in this nation, we've led so many people to college and you know, careers outside of the trades. And when I was a young man, the trades were certainly something, and granted, that was a long time ago, but the trades were always talked about, and all of us had to, as young people, had to go through males anyway, wood shop, metal shop, mechanical drawing. All of those were, they weren't electives. They were all things that we all had to go through back during those times. And it led so many guys into the apprenticeships who were able to live these middle class, strong middle class lives. And so something happened along the way in the schools. They kind of got away from that. You know why?
So our research doesn't really touch on that particular topic of why there was a shift from that. But what we did find out is how we're seeing the efforts being made to bring those opportunities back to students. Who are they inviting into the classrooms? What does career readiness look like? What kind of persons from the communities can they bring in? So opportunities to have exposure to those types of fields are coming back in. From our understanding, again, it's not, you know, required anymore, but we are seeing a lot of efforts that those are spaces we need to not expose just to the guy students, but expose to all of the students.
Well, there's no question there are more women who are involved in the trades now than they've ever been in my lifetime, and I'm 69 years old. I remember a time when women weren't allowed or not directed into trades, but that's not the case now. Women are all over the trades, and you'll see them on construction sites, you know, plumbing, you know, electricians and all of those kinds of things, and the opportunities that exist in those areas and the amount of money they make far outstrip almost all the career paths that you see in these universities.
Well, it's the Urban Institute has done a couple of different research projects on apprenticeship and the amount of money that we see an apprenticeship who completes right out of their high school and starting on their career, their annual or their lifetime earnings can be up to $300,000 more than someone who goes the college route and goes into a career after that. So just that extra time spent working and making money while you're learning how to do your profession can really set you up for success, as well as it's just a more direct pathway to the career you're looking to get into.
Well, not only that, you wind up with no debt, because in most instances, the trades pay for your education.
Absolutely. Yeah. So while it's not a requirement in the state of Wisconsin for the trades, the sponsor to pay for the education, we do see a lot of, especially in construction, that's the route they go where they are paying for that education component. But it is expanding as well into some non-traditional trades, such as health science and education, communication, information technology. And we're still getting individuals into these accelerated programs where they're taking less coursework. So the overall cost to the individual who might be taking on schooling is still significantly less than that traditional four-year degree.
So you said you guys start this in sophomore high school?
So the youth apprenticeship initiative in Wisconsin, the plan is that all individuals who are exiting their sophomore year of high school will be presented the opportunities of the youth apprenticeship program and also understand what's going to be available to them as far as registered apprenticeship when they turn 18. So that means that there is a relationship between the school and the youth apprenticeship consortiums. There's 39 across the state. To get out to all of the high schools and make sure that they talk to their entire exiting sophomore year class of, hey, you have this work opportunity coming up in your junior and senior years in all of these different career fields. Is this something of interest to you?
You know, when you look at artificial intelligence, and there's this concern, and rightfully so, that artificial intelligence is going to replace a lot of people. And then many people with college degrees may wind up losing their jobs because of artificial intelligence. Not so in the trades. I don't think artificial intelligence is going to be able to replace anybody who's a plumber, who's an electrician, who's a steam fitter, who's a carpenter. I mean, these career paths will be there, and they'll stand the test of time. I don't care, you know, if it's 30, 15. A plumber is still going to be a plumber. A carpenter is still going to be a carpenter. And these trades are still going to be there.
Absolutely. Again, not something that we touched on in this particular project, but it is something that we're hearing a lot more about now. What can I prepare my kids for that's going to give them a career that's going to last them the entire time that they want to work? And those labor-intensive careers that you mentioned, such as electricians, carpenters, plumbers, HVAC, steam fitters, iron workers, their jobs will definitely, just as, you know, technology has continued to change how we do certain things, but the job itself, the occupation itself, is going to remain as we have these artificial intelligence components coming more into our workforce.
You know, Monday is Labor Day. And I'm going to be doing a live remote, and I'm going to be amongst tradespeople as I enjoy being around them. And you can just see when you see the number of families and people who in the face of the fact that, you know, it's more difficult to survive in America today financially than it ever was. When I see you and when I'm around tradespeople and I'm having conversations with them, they're not seeing that. You know, what their opportunities to thrive in the midst of all of these changes that are happening in this nation, as far as, you know, jobs are concerned, they're not concerned because these people are in good shape because, again, as we said before, these are career paths. The last time I checked, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're in New York, California, Las Vegas, or if you're in China. These trades are still the same. And it makes you marketable.
So it definitely does make you marketable. And that's another thing about how Wisconsin has set up their apprenticeship program, which is different to a lot of the rest of the country, where the same pathway that a junior in Green Bay, Wisconsin goes through is going to be the same as someone doing the same occupation out in Monroe or out in Milwaukee. That makes it really transferable for, let's say, the kid wants to move north or south or across the state. They really make it transferable, and we see that in both Wisconsin's youth and registered program. That makes them appealing to employers across the state and really across the country. What they put together in their apprenticeship system is what a lot of other apprenticeship systems in the U.S. have wanted to be able to accomplish.
So what do you want to say in closing?
So a couple things I wanted to say in closing would be that the biggest thing that we saw with the Wisconsin Youth Apprenticeship Program and what brought us here is the immense amount of growth that they were able to bring. In 2013, they had only 2,292 students, and then in the 22 to 23 school year, saw 8,358 students. With the labor shortage going on right now, we want to remind and inform employers that there are young people who are willing to give either 450 or 900 dedicated hours to work. And they're productive workers. We see over and over again in apprenticeship studies that what young apprentices are bringing is productive work, adding value to the business. If you're not looking at young people to start filling in the jobs of, as you said, those boomers that are retiring out of some of these skilled occupations, you're going to have a problem. Attracting students when they're younger, getting into their ideas of what might be a successful career pathway is something really important that I think all employers across all industries need to take a better approach on. And in our study, in our research, we found that Wisconsin's doing, making some great efforts.
Ms. Tyson,
I
want to thank you. We'll reach out to you again. Thank you very much for the call. When we come back, we'll be joined by Joel McNally. We'll be right back.
With Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 79. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 50 tonight. High of 70. Tomorrow, bright sunshine. Clear skies Thursday with highs around 75. 82 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Hite. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
At 844-967-2789. Text us, it's that same number. On the air, you know, a troublemaker. a fellow troublemaker, Joe McNally, award-winning journalist, amongst all sorts of other things. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
We're doing great, and glad to make all the trouble we can.
Yes. And you know what, Joe? In today's reality, we need more troublemakers. And I remember former Senator John
Lewis said that a lot.
Excuse me?
John Lewis said that a lot.
Yeah, you just took the words out of my mouth. Good trouble. and you know, and you what we are faced with, Joe, let's just go here. We keep talking about Donald Trump, and he commands attention. What I don't understand, Joe, is you look at him in totality of what he's done with his life, the things, that negative things that surround him, and yet people keep saying, I'm going to support him regardless. And what I don't understand, Joe, is whether Donald Trump gets another 4 years or not, Donald Trump will soon be off the scene, and people have sold their souls for this man. Why?
Yeah. It is going to baffle people like you and I, Earl. It really is. Because we're good people.
I think it is that simple.
Obviously, he has touched an anger and a hatred and some of the ugliest elements of humanity. I mean, he really has. And you can call that political genius if you want, but it really upsets me when I read stories about someone, you know, journalists that you and I know, you know, saying things like, you have to admit, you know, that he has figured this thing out.
Yes.
No, he hasn't figured anything out. He is incapable of figuring anything out. He really is. He is not an intelligent human being. And you and I have talked about this before. I don't even believe he's a sane human being.
I don't either.
And I say that every time I say that, a good friend of mine is about to publish a great book about mental illness in her family, and I have known. I've lost two friends to suicide. I've known people with mental illness. I really highly respect a great organization there in Milwaukee called the Grand Avenue Club, which has mentally ill people organizing their lives and getting employment and getting jobs and working in jobs. And coming there every day to organize their lives, I have known wonderful people dealing with the mentally ill, but boy, these people aiding and abetting Donald Trump in all of his delusions and his vicious hatred, that's not dealing with the problem. And he is the problem. The hatred in America is a problem. The racism in America is a problem. The hatred for women, for LGBTQ people, for anyone who isn't a white male supremacist within the Republican Party has simply destroyed the Republican Party. And every time you say that, someone says, well, are you calling all Republicans racist? No, as a matter of fact, I'm not. But you know what? If you support Donald Trump today, you either support racism or you aid and abet racism. And I don't care whether you really believe that or not. I don't care about all of those Republicans in the Senate who know that Donald Trump is a danger to democracy and is a horrible, ugly person. But openly support him anyway because they want to, they want the support of the haters and the racists and the militias that attack the capital of the United States.
You know, Joe, I have to say this. As long as I've known you, I've never heard you speak in that tone, because I've never heard you. You always talked about the balance in the Republican Party. Yeah, really. I mean, I'm, just so people understand what Donald Trump has done, what Donald Trump has done to a guy like you who was fair and balanced. And all over, well, in many years, I would push.
You and I have had this discussion a lot. And what I've always tried to tell you over and over is, I you know, when I say that there are decent, intelligent people in the Republican.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Joe McNally. You know, Joe, these are dangerous, dangerous times in this nation. And for those people who keep supporting Donald Trump and they say, well, you know, Donald Trump's a bad guy, but so is Joe Biden. Donald Trump's a liar, but so is Joe Biden. Donald Trump is this, but so is Joe Biden. Come on, come on, come on, Joe. How is there any comparison between the two of these guys?
There isn't, and there never has been. The fact that, you know, remember how he got elected over Hillary Clinton? Hillary Clinton... someone complained that she used the wrong computer server. that was her crime, and her crime that she was these rabid supporters of Trump were yelling to lock her up, and he was leading those cheers for the computer server she used.
Right.
And this was a man who was caught bragging about sexually assaulting women. This was a man who then publicly tried to overthrow the democracy of the United States by calling his militant armed supporters to Washington to prevent Joe Biden's from being certified as the winner of the election, and his own vice president refused to break the law and violate the Constitution for him, and therefore, you know, he was not allowed to continue to be the president of the United States after the American people threw him out of office by the largest vote in American history.
That was really bad about how Hillary used that computer server that she wasn't supposed to. He
committed constant crimes. As in office, he committed constant crimes. There's no question about that. And he's now being indicted for the crimes that he committed during his presidency. The Republicans refused to vote to throw him out of office or to prevent him from seeking office again, even though Mitch McConnell got up on the floor of the Senate after he voted not to convict him for his crimes and said that he should be prosecuted for them, Well, now he is being prosecuted for them. And he's being prosecuted for them both by the federal government and by state governments all over this country, because in seven states, including Wisconsin, he had Republicans violate the law by pretending to be they were the electoral votes from Wisconsin for Donald Trump, even though Joe Biden won Wisconsin and he won Arizona and he won Georgia and he won the other seven states. And now those states are starting to prosecute all of those Republicans who violated the law and submitted fraudulent documents as fake electors to claim that they won the votes in those states when they didn't. And that's overthrowing an election. Now, is there any bigger crime in this country than overthrowing democracy? And he's being prosecuted for it. And now his party says, even if he's convicted of those crimes, they're still going to nominate him for president. And in Milwaukee, at a debate when a bunch of Republicans claimed to be running for president, they said, no, we really support that guy. Well, why are you running against him then? It doesn't make any sense.
I guess, you've laid it out so succinctly. People, this is common sense, and for people to, they're saying, and Donald Trump has led people to believe that the Joe Biden led Justice Department is interfering with the election. In other words, he's running again.
He's running on remaining president, even though 7 million more Americans voted against him than voted against Joe Biden.
So Joe, it's nonsensical, but it's true. It's true that these people are all in for him. And so he's got almost a 50% lead over all the other Republicans that are running. And you have to ask the question, Joe. So when he took here's where he's got these people so snookered. When he took his picture, his mugshot. Donald Trump, I read the other day where
I think that's the best mugshot I've ever seen.
Well, yeah,
that is a terrific mugshot.
He had his hair done, and he said he's a strawberry blonde. And I read where he actually took time to practice poses. He did. I read it for the snapshots.
Yeah, okay.
So he knew they were going to go on T-shirts and mugs. And what did the sheep do? $7 million the first day they bought all this merchandise. And these poor people, Joe, will follow him off a cliff. Here's a guy.
Go ahead. Yeah, but I always want to point out when everybody says, he has overwhelming support in the Republican Party. He doesn't really have overwhelming support in the Republican Party. He has about 30%. There's a hardcore 30% who are the insane people who believe everything he said. You probably might have already talked on the show about the poll that showed that something like 70% of the MAGA Republicans say they believe Donald Trump to tell them the truth.
Yes, more so than their pastors.
More than their family or their friends.
Or their pastors.
Or their pastors. Yeah, he is the truth teller. Every time he opens his mouth, he tells lies. We don't know. Well, we've never known. We said this before, but we've all known people in our lives who lie a lot. But we don't know anybody who lies every time they open their mouth. We really don't. I mean, that is a cartoon character of a cartoon caricature of liars. Someone who just lies like they breathe.
But you know the worst part about it, Joe, is the man is running to become president again. That's the part.
Now here's the part where I always want to make people feel better, except that people are so afraid of him. Because we never thought he could get elected the first time,
right?
And I was wrong about that. I admit I was wrong about that, because I really didn't think there were that many racists in America. They weren't allowed to say that stuff out loud, and they were really mad about it. They were really mad that they couldn't express their racism out loud, and so as soon as he came along. And he started openly, spewing racism, telling black people black Americans to go back where they came from. They're Americans. but those kinds of it's sort of like the eeny meeny miny mo thing from our childhood. You know, the things that people used to say out loud, they weren't saying out loud anymore. So when he came along spewing that crap out loud, they called that telling it like it is. And anyone who has ever said that phrase about Donald Trump, you don't have to question whether they're racist. They are. And I know they all say that they don't have a racist bone in their body. But every racist I've ever known in my life has said they don't have a racist bone in their body. But their minds are a cesspool. They really are. They are the ugliest racists you can imagine. And they were so delighted that he came along expressing all those things out loud, which they called telling it like it is.
You know, Joe, as a man of color, it is refreshing to hear you tell the truth, because, people hide behind that. And they hide behind the fact that Donald Trump is, all of these things. But going back, Joe, when those folks marched in your city, and the Oath Keepers and the Boogaloo Boys and all of those people marched in Virginia, and I remember calling you and having you talk over the airwaves about that ugliness that you saw. And Donald Trump bagged that way back then. And yet you hear people say, well, Donald Trump has done more for black people than any other president in the United States history. and people will argue with me about that on the airwaves, Joe.
Yeah.
And they can't.
We know the initials of some of them.
Yeah, you know, Joe. But all of this to me, at a time when this nation is facing some real hard things that we're gonna have to overcome as a nation, really hard times and issues. We're wasting all this time defending a criminal, man who, they shouldn't do this while he's running for office. What are you talking about? Here's a man who's going to be convicted, and you're going to support him anyway, Joe? This is unheard of stuff. This is really some crazy stuff that people are trying to force us to accept, Joe.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Why? I have never understood any argument that says that you shouldn't prosecute criminal politicians. And you're allowed to be a criminal if you're a politician. I mean, if you break the law,
isn't that the reason why he shouldn't be nominated for president? Isn't that the reason why you should not even consider running for president? Yeah, I mean, you know, Richard Nixon,
we thought he was a bad fellow.
Around him, he was a criminal. He ran a criminal gang out of the Oval Office to burglarize the Democrats and break into their offices and steal things from them.
Hey Joel, hold
their phone.
Joel, hold the thought. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. I mean, it's unbelievable. Joe McNally's on the line. We'll be right back. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Joe McNally. Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. CJ, good morning.
Good morning, Earl and Joe. As I listen to you talk, it amazes me because your party is the one that celebrated Adam Pencilneck's shift 2.5-year lie after being censored. For lying to the American people for 2.5 years when it was the Clinton campaign that was actually colluding with Russia. And the mere fact you won't acknowledge that. And why would we want to go back to a secure border, inflation at 1.4%, growth, GDP growth at 6.8%? Why wouldn't we want to go back to that? And any one of those candidates, Republican candidates, will bring those policies back.
Hey CJ, so it does not matter that Donald Trump tried to overthrow the government, right? That doesn't matter to you.
Yeah, when he said go peacefully, yeah, right. Play that part, Earl. And who's the boss of Mr. Clark? Who's the boss of Merrick Garland? Yeah, it's Joe Biden. Remember when you used to call it the Trump Department of Justice, the DOJ, the Trump DOJ? You never referred to it as the Biden DOJ.
Okay, we got you, CJ. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Joe, CJ is one of those guys who've drank the Kool-Aid, right?
Golly, how could I have predicted that CJ would call? just a few minutes after I said, we know the initials of many of the Trump's most bizarre supporters. He really hasn't heard that Vladimir Putin supported Donald Trump's election. He really doesn't know that. You think?
Well, if he watches Fox News, he'll never know that.
I'm pretty sure he does know that. I'm pretty sure he was probably enjoying the overthrow of the government on January 6th, just like Donald Trump.
Well,
was.
But
Donald
Joe,
Trump
you heard him say
chortling over it while he watched it on television.
He heard Donald Trump say, "Go in peace." So after they destroyed.
Remember, it was,
I don't think he said go in peace at that point where he said, Mike Pence has betrayed you and you should kill him.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't say it that. He didn't say it that explicitly.
I know, but
later he did say that he thought that Pence deserved the hanging, that the insurrectionist that Donald Trump sent there to the Capitol. That there was an, you know, that he boy, I mean, yeah.
I don't believe that
CJ believes the things that he says. I really don't. I think he's just, you know.
Well, Joe, we've got a more sane conservative who's on the line, Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Hey, Joe. I just turned on. I do think, you know, Earl, I love your show. And we usually, you know, agree. We're kind of in the middle on things. I do think this whole conversation's a little hypocritical. Like, you guys are laughing when CJ hangs up, like, you know, there's something wrong with him. But I think it seems like you're talking the exact same way he does. He's passionate about his, you know, his party and what he believes in. You're passionate about yours, but we're not. Why are we talking about Trump? Why aren't we talking about stuff that we need to fix in this country?
So, Julie,
I'm sorry,
we have to talk about Trump because Trump is all over. I don't care what news outlet you open up, wherever it is, Donald Trump is front and center. They talk more about Donald Trump than they do any of the issues that we are dealing with on a daily basis, Julie. And that's why we're talking about him, because people have put him front and center. And he's put himself front and center. And to ignore the fact that a man who is running for president of the United States is facing 4 criminal charges, you can't dismiss that. The fact of the matter is he shouldn't be running. Based on his record and what he's done, Julie, and yet people are still supporting him with all the things that he's done. That's the issue.
Absolutely, I absolutely agree with you. He shouldn't be running. Anyone that's under investigation for any kind of criminal activity,
yeah, but he is.
Should not be running.
Yeah, but he is, and
right.
And he's 50% of the vote in many instances.
I don't know the poll stuff. Like you said, the media. The only thing they're talking about in the media is Trump. Why? Because they get ratings? It's this 4 years we're going on and on with this guy. Figure it out. They want to talk about Trump because they don't want to talk about Biden and Hunter or whatever's going on there or what's really happening in the country.
So we're going to let Joe respond to that on the other side. We've got to go to Joe. We've only got a couple seconds left. We'll let you respond to it. We've got other callers on the line. But she does represent a belief in this country that we shouldn't be talking about Donald Trump. And as far as laughing at CJ, a man who constantly, you know, dismisses the realities of what is going on and then delusionally points out things that he believes, well, you know. Sometimes that's comical. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Joe McNally is on the line. You can join us. We'll be right back.